Michael, isn't Michael amazing?
Yeah.
I remind you, any single ladies, he is single, I'm just saying. Sorry, Michael, just had to throw the plug in. If you know somebody, praise God. God's good, isn't he? All right. I mean, I think he's an amazing guy. Yeah. If I was a young lady, I'm not, but you know. All right, you guys having fun yet? Tracy, you seeing anything in the spirit? Tiffany, you guys feeling anything, seeing anything? All right, feel free to pipe up. Yeah, say it, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, as we were worshiping, it was like I saw the Lord come down as King, and then he rolled out the red carpet right in the middle of us to say that we have the right to come and sit as kings and priests beside him. So I just want to share.
That's awesome. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. Welcome. Welcome, King of Glory.
Yes.
We welcome you into this place. Woo. Welcome into this place. Woo. Yes. Mm. Lord, we welcome all the fullness of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm. What I was hearing is that the joy of the Lord is going to cut off the heads of your enemy. The joy of the Lord. The world out there is actually going to know you by your joy. The church should be the happiest people in the world. Nothing can stop the glory and the joy that is released from heaven. You see, because it's a heaven reality. It's supernatural. How many know there's a difference between being joyful and being happy? Happy depends on circumstances. Joy is supernatural. And God's going to release a supernatural joy into your heart. And you're going to be the most surprised person in the room. Why am I so happy? The devil's going to say, yeah, but what about this? What about this? Chop the head off. The joy is going to chop the head off because you just can't help yourself. Because that's just how good God is. Woo. Now, did you know that there's actually a river of joy?
Yes.
Maybe biblically it would be more accurate described as a spring.
Come on.
A well.
Come on.
Spring up, oh well. There's a stream. Whatever analogy you want to use, it's akin to water in the natural, but it's spiritual. This morning, as I at 8:30 last night got a call from Pastor Dennis. He's like, man, I hate to tell you this. I'm like, grace, Dennis. He's like, this storm, we can't get out of Scranton. We might make it to Dulles. And then he called me back. He's like, Pastor, either way, we won't be home until Sunday evening. I was like, you know what, Pastor? God's got a plan.
Amen.
He's up to something. Yeah. So then I'm opening my Bible. Okay, God, what are you going to do next? How many? I kind of liked it that way, though, to be honest. Wait, what did I just say? Okay, Lord, to be clear, I like a heads up, but there's something to be said with just going with the raw, like, whatever God has put in you. And so he said, Matthew, I want you to impart and talk about my river.
Come on.
It's called the River of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, a few weeks ago, Michael gave a great teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many people are thankful for the baptism?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, all the gifts, all the power, just the relationship that the baptism of the Holy Spirit endues with us, between us and the Father. That's my favorite part, honestly. The gifts are an overflow of relationship. Hello, come on. But here's what I've discovered in my Christian life. And this actually has become a core part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA as a church, is Psalm 46:4. There is a river. Say this with me. There is a river. Put that up there as the second one on the list. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Woo. This isn't just analogy. There is a river. No, I don't think y'all are hearing me. There's a river, y'all.
Yeah.
There's a real, here's what we learned. There is a real river. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. There's a real river that flows from the throne.
Yes.
It shows up from Genesis all the way to the last chapter of Revelation. There's a river. Now, you know what it says? God's in the middle of her. This is actually why the Lord prophetically named us back in 2003, I think it was. Our Mooresville church was Calvary Community Church. God told our pastor, the road for Calvary Community is over. Take an exit here. And he prophetically renamed our church River Life. Not River of Life, but River Life. And so it felt like it's not just the River of Life, but it's learning life in the river. Now, what is the river? River is the Holy Ghost. Yes. River is the Holy Spirit. Yes. River is His presence. Yes. What you find biblically is the river is everything. Yes. Because why? Because God is in the midst of her. And guess what? Since God's in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Amen. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations will rage, make no mistake. The kingdoms were moved, but he uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Is our refuge. Now let me just tell you a story. 15 years ago now, actually. So again, in 2003, we became River Life Fellowship in our Mooresville church. And this was long before we came to Chapel Hill. And 3 years went by, and the women had been going on this fall mountain retreat for decades, you know. And so they went off to the mountains of North Carolina, and right at 15 years ago this October, for I wouldn't say business as usual, because if you know retreats, it's always an awesome time usually. I mean, the Lord really moves. But 9 times out of 10, if not more than 9 times, what happens there kind of stays there. Not maybe for you. You bring it home and it nurtures your spiritual life. But it's not necessarily an overflow into the whole church, especially if it was like a youth retreat or a women's retreat or, you know, a particular category of the church. But in 2006, it was different. Now, I wasn't there, and Sarah can maybe make a description of what that was like. But the river of the Holy Spirit came into that mountain cabin at wherever they were meeting. And, you know, have you ever been in a meeting where the presence of God comes and like a couple people or whatever get prayed for and they sort of fall down and people are on the floor? And who's following me? I got to know who I'm preaching here. Okay. So I got a few people that have experienced something like this. So we've seen that. Like, you know, that's something that is not necessarily common, but it's the weighty kabod, right? From the glory comes upon people. But in this meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, but it's like the kabod came on the whole meeting. There's like 80 women there. They spent the weekend on the floor, just under the weighty glory of God's presence. And the best part is, when they came home on Sunday, the kabod came into the room in the church for about 3.5 years. Now, I'm not going to hype this or exaggerate it, because there's always a little bit of ebb and flow. But this river of the Holy Spirit began to flow right down the middle of our church. Of course, you can't see it with your natural eyes. But anybody who's akin to sensing what is in the room, you could just tell. And there's really not words to describe. And people like Sherry Starr there, she knows what I'm talking about because she was there. And my friends, the Andersons, towards the end of that probably, right? But it's you can't have words to describe it. It's just one of those things that you know in your knower. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know what your knower is. Your spiritual knower. I can't really tell you in words. The only way to know it is for you to experience it. But there was this ripple, there was this flow, there was this movement, there was every kingdom of heaven things from healing and breakthrough and, you know, it's just all happening. Mostly sovereignly, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
God's just in the room is another way to think about it. Who likes those times? Man, I just, that's our dream at River Life, is when God shows up, like, you know. Everybody's got a different spiritual vision. There's like the seeker-sensitive movement. We're seeker-sensitive to three people: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If we can get them to come to church, then nothing else matters. Like, I mean, people are good, don't get me wrong. He loves people and all the heavenly hosts, the angels. But when they come into the church, man, we're winning. You know? God is winning. And so we began to learn, and the Lord began to give Byron, our pastor, and others just revelation out of the scripture. That, you know, how many know revelation out of the scripture has always there?
Yeah.
It's not like it's new. It's not even some new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun, really. But sometimes things can be just sort of new to you.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever opened your Bible and be like, oh, I never seen that before?
Right.
Technically, it's been there all along. The Bible didn't change. Nobody added it. But you personally, maybe you've read it, heard it preached on, went to a Bible study about it, but you still never got it. Because remember, the Bible is received here, not here. The mind of your heart. So this is, I'm just trying to describe in words how this came about. So for about 3.5 years, as I said, this river just began to flow. And a couple of verses, Psalm 46, became like the theme verse for our church that I just read to you. And let me read you one other one. It's at the top of the list back there on the computer. It's Isaiah 55:1. And I'm particularly drawn to the New King James Version because it starts off with one word that became so powerful, and it's the word H-O. Not like Santa Claus, but like Jesus said to the woman at the well, let me tell you something, lady. I'm going to give you a water that's going to spring up like ho! Sorry. I mean, you don't. Again, I would apologize, but I don't want to. It's just. So, Sarah and I don't know if you know, but we have a lot of kids. And some kind gentleman told me today that I didn't look old enough to have 6. But thank you for that. That comment, as my hair gets whiter, I'm starting to feel differently. But anyway, when this thing started flowing, we had a bunch of babies and little ones. And she was like one of the key leaders of what was happening, what God was doing. And so I found myself a lot of time just like back there cradling a baby, sort of hanging back. I loved everything was God was doing, but I hadn't personally experience this bubbling up.
Come on.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a bubbling up.
Come on. Yeah.
So then one day we're in this elder and pastor's meeting in the church prayer room. And I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know what changed, but something just connected and it bubbled up on me. And I went from sitting on a couch in that room in a meeting to on the floor for like 2 hours, just, the best way I can describe it, well, and this isn't fair either because I'm a man, but for ladies who've had babies, I've seen a lot of them born, the contractions. It's like spiritual contractions. Okay, it sort of does come in waves and you just feel like this, oh! Well, what's the point, Matthew? The point is God is birthing something in your womb for His glory.
The river.
He's birthing something. About 2 years after that, we started the healing rooms at River Life. We started other ministries. What was that? It was a birthing that comes from the river.
Yeah.
See, because on this river, there's trees on either side. The Psalms speak of it. Revelation speaks of it. Ezekiel River speaks of it. There's trees on each. And guess what the purpose of the trees are? For the healing of what? The healing of the nations.
Come on.
Come on. The healing of the nations.
Oh,
isn't that what the world is crying out for?
Yeah.
I just had to buy this shirt because the answer for this is the river of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It brings unity to the nations.
Yeah.
Look at Acts chapter 2. What happens in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit falls as is promised. And every ethnic group in Jerusalem heard the gospel preached in their own tongue.
Come on.
How are we going to see this happen? When the river of the Holy Spirit flows through a community and a nation.
Yes.
And all can testify the beauty and the glory of Jesus.
Yes.
Then healing, reconciliation, repentance. It begins to flow like a river. See, there's a stream of repentance.
Yes.
There's a stream of reconciliation.
Yes.
There's a stream of redemption.
Yes.
They're all different streams of one river.
Come on.
It's the river of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I'm about to start preaching.
Preach, come on.
One river with many streams. I'm not going to go there, but right now in Daniel 7, verse 10, you'll see in Daniel 7, 10 that Daniel saw from the throne a river of fire.
Yeah.
Who's ever just a fraction of that river of fire? Anybody ever felt that? The only way I can describe it is like fire in your bones. I mean, I've felt physical fire. It's a good heat.
Oh, God.
It's not a negative fire that would hurt you. It might feel like it's going to hurt you, actually, but it's really good. In fact, I'll never forget a few years back. This is just after we had moved to Chapel Hill, maybe around 2015. I was at this Randy Clark conference, and he did one of his impartation meetings. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, my arms start to shake, and I start to feel this burning in my hands. And I'm like, oh my God, what is that? I don't know, but it feels really good, but it sort of doesn't. But Lord, whatever you want to do. And I'm just, and have you ever been in a meeting where this person starts wailing and everybody can't help but look like, is it a demon coming out? Like, is it like, are they okay? You know, like you're sort of at first concerned about them, but then you're like, oh, that's God. Like, praise God. And I've all been in a lot of those meetings, but I had never until that day been that guy. I'm that guy, y'all. I mean, I am over there literally like, and the weird thing is it almost felt like the Lord was saying, Matthew, I'm allowing you to share in the nail prints of my suffering that you may also share in my glory.
Come on.
Well, if you put it that way, Lord, just more. You know, and I'm like, snotting on the floor. I mean, it was the most amazing. What is that? It's a taste of the stream of fire.
Come on.
The river of fire that Daniel saw it. It flows from the throne. And that's just one taste. I'm sure there are infinite examples and testimonies of that fire. You know, we got a whole church named that from the Toronto outpouring. The blessing catch the fire, right? Why are they called that? Guess what? Somebody caught some fire. I mean, they tasted of the river of fire.
Oh, come on.
There's rivers of healing.
Yes.
Come on, I love that.
Yes.
Jesus hates sickness, so
yes.
Should we.
Yes.
There's streams of prophetic.
Come on.
Of the prophetic, hearing the voice of God. Whoo, that night at the Chop House, when y'all's worship team came and a few others were here, and all of a sudden Tiffany's like, Pastor, I hope it's okay, but I got some work. Like, go right ahead. I mean, not only was she prophesying the paint off the wall, but for those of you who were here, remember, where's Vicky? Remember? It was like the spirit of prophecy came in the room.
Amen.
It was like those times in the Bible where it says, and all could prophesy.
Yeah.
You ain't got to be a prophet. You've never prophesied before. Here's the mic. Just go ahead and prophesy. Open your mouth. You open your mouth, and what's going to come out is the words from heaven.
Come on.
What was that? It was a stream or a river of prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you see, one river, many streams.
Yeah, that's so good.
Our son Judah prays. He's getting ready to get married, as I said, on Friday. And he and his wife, or fiance, soon-to-be wife, they live up in the mountains of North Carolina near Western Carolina University. And a few weeks ago, we went up there, 2 weeks ago, I guess, and just her and I, we got to go stay on the Tuckasegee River. And at this little humble, favorite little Best Western out there. It doesn't sound like anything fancy, but again, Eric and Sherry have been there. You know what I'm talking about? You can just open your window and the river is right there. It's like we had been at the beach earlier this summer. And it's like I love to just listen to the ocean waves. But man, is there anything like just that ripple of the river? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Bible says that the voice of God is like the sound of many waters.
Yeah.
It just bubbles. It just flows.
Wow.
Woo!
Thank you.
And then, you know, as a history geography teacher, one of the things that I can't help but think about too is how rivers have many different tributaries, and they all flow downhill into one river.
Come on.
Yeah, River Basin. The Amazon River Basin. Here's what I'm going to geek out on you on my world geography. Did you know that there is so much water that flows into the Amazon? It's the largest river by volume. The Nile is the longest, of course. But it's the largest river by volume. There is so much water that where the mouth of the river hits the Atlantic Ocean, it's fresh water. The ocean is fresh water for over 100 miles. Wow. Now, how many know that's a lot of water? And where that ocean tide meets the river current, there's a phenomenon called the Porta Roca. You can look it up on YouTube. Porta Roca. Sound it out. I think I got that right. I like to show this to my geography students because they're just amazed by it. But what the Porta Roca is where those meet, there is a one wave that goes for like, gosh, I don't know how many miles. Miles and miles and miles. It's dirty. It's got piranhas. You got to be a little crazy to ride it. But on YouTube, you can see surfers surfing that one wave. Many tributaries, one river. An ocean current, a river stream, they meet, and what is there? There's one wave. There's one wave of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of an outpouring of rain. The rainforest, the Amazon rainforest. You see, it's all a spiritual analogy because God created it. He created that from the beginning. And if you remember your world history or whatever class you took in school, where did mankind's civilization begin? Around the Tigris-Euphrates River valleys, right? There in the Middle East, over to the Nile in Northeast Africa, then across to the Indus, then across to the Wanghe River Valley in China, and so on and so forth. Isn't it interesting that God created man in the Garden of Eden? You can even read in Genesis 2 where four riverheads meet. Yeah. Two of them still exist, the Tigris and Euphrates. The other two, I think, were assimilated through the flood. They sort of went away geographically, or maybe they're a tributary of one of those. But they're still there. Why? Because God knew that there would be something powerful and important about this geographical feature even of a river.
Yeah.
And here's what I think it is. Do you know what the hydrologic cycle is? I just switched from history to science. The hydrologic cycle, in layman's terms, is where water, when it rains, water collects, like in the Amazon basin, into rivers. The rivers flow into the ocean, and out of the ocean, there's evaporation that happens, and the evaporation forms rain clouds, and then it rains on the earth. Right? There you go. It just passed the science test there. History and science all along. And it's getting cloudy. This is what the Lord's saying. I just see this prophetically. He was showing me this morning. He said, Matthew, look for rain. It's getting cloudy outside. I'm not talking about those clouds. I'm talking about spiritual clouds. And who in here is hungry for an outpouring? Church, we need a down. We're going to get so wet and so saturated that we won't even know anything different. All we know is one day we were dry and the next day we are sopping wet because the river of the Holy Spirit has evaporated into rain clouds and an outpouring happens. And then guess what happens? Think about the Amazon. Then the volume of the river gets bigger and stronger. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a cycle.
Yeah.
It all works together. Initiated by God, the Holy Spirit, everything begins and ends with Him.
Amen.
Okay, but you and I, we have a part.
Yeah.
Because as we welcome the rain, as we are attuned in the Spirit to see what He's doing and welcome that, then that begins to flow. The river gets stronger and deeper. Oh, there's a lot here. I got like scriptures upon scriptures. Honestly, I think later on I'll do like a 4-part series because there's just so much and I'm not going to do that to you today. I will say this about Pastor Dennis and Kathleen. What amazing pioneers and generals. I'm so disappointed, but grace to you guys as you're listening. We love you and honor you. After that seat night at the Cove on May the 21st, I had never met them. We had never met before. And so we ran up and met Dennis and scheduled a lunch, and Sarah wasn't able to be there, but I sat down for 2 hours at lunch with Dennis and Kathleen, and I'm like, Dennis, where have you been for the past 7 years, man? He's like, I was going to ask you the same thing. Where have you been for the last 20? I'm like, well, okay, you got me there. Have you ever met somebody that you just speak the same language?
Yes.
I mean, it's unexplainable, Ken. You know what I'm talking about. You may have just met them, but spiritually, it's like you've been brothers or sisters, whatever the case may be, forever. That's how it was with me and Pastor Dennis. It was like we talked from everything we covered the whole gamut. And at the end of 2 hours, I had to go. I was like, we got to go. And like, we didn't want to leave. And we're like, God is up to something. The rain clouds are forming. And I just want to say that to honor Dennis and Kathleen for their years of pioneering and plowing. Yeah, amen. And God's doing a new thing with them and has big plans for them. But truly, I feel for the rest of us who remain where we are geographically, we are reaping where people like them have sown.
We are.
And guys, get your hopes up. This is harvest time.
Yes.
The world is hungry.
Come on.
They're looking for something. They're looking. And this is what they're looking for. This is it. It's Jesus. It's a reflection of their Father.
Come on.
In His eyes. They're going to see it through you and you and you. It's remarkable. All right. Let me read this one scripture in John 7, though. John 7, 37. Okay. Maybe two scriptures. All right. Y'all give me a break here. Y'all remember this one. On the last day, the climax of the festival, John 7:37 in the New Living Translation, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. I like to shout, but I got a microphone. I'm going to hurt your ears, so I just won't shout it. But imagine that Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, He stands up at the end of the Passover. He begins to shout this thing. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. What does that require? Just being thirsty. Yeah. Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Anyone. He says anyone who's thirsty. Yeah. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers. Everybody say rivers.
Rivers
of living water will flow from his heart.
Yeah.
Ooh, now that is really interesting. Rivers. You see, don't just take my word for it. If you're new here and you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? He's hoeing and woeing and rivers and I'm just lost. I get it. I feel your pain. Okay, seriously. If it's a new sort of like church culture, I get that. I'm not trying to offend you or anything like that. I'm just telling a story. And I believe it's real. And this is biblical evidence for it. Okay? Jesus Himself, the Son of God, is saying, okay, first of all, number one, the scriptures declare. He's like, don't just take my word for it. Read your Bible. You know? Go home and read your Bible because you're actually going to find from Genesis. Well, they didn't have Revelation then, but Genesis to Malachi. Yeah. The scriptures declare the Torah, right?
Yeah.
The books of the law. They declare that rivers of living water will flow from your heart. Well, God, Jesus, you know, Jesus is so sort of strange sometimes. Like, what is he talking about? Can't you just see these poor guys sitting there scratching their heads? Like, rivers going to flow from my heart? You know, like, you understand what he's talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. Rivers are going to flow from my heart? What does that mean? Yeah. I thought I'd try to help you out with that. I mean, in other translations, just listen to this. It's not on the screen, but another way that it could be said is, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me. Or rivers of water will flow from his throne within you. Woo!
Woo, that's good.
His throne within you. Woo! His throne within you. You mean his throne is in me? That's a game changer. I mean, you talk about kingdom authority. For the scriptures declare. For the scriptures declare. He said, so let's look at a few of these real quick. What is he referring to? And I don't have time to read them all, but let's go to the end of the book, Revelation 22, verse 1. What does it say? It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing with water clear as crystal, continuously pouring out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river was flowing in the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river was the tree of life. Here's what I spoke of earlier. With its 12 kinds of ripe fruit according to each month of the year. The leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. And every curse will be broken and no longer exists. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the city. His loving servants will serve him and they will always see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. They will never need the light of the sun or a lamp because the Lord God will shine on them. And they will reign as kings forever and ever.
Yes.
And you might be thinking, well, that's great, Matthew, but that's in heaven when we get there, the book of Revelation. And you're not wrong. That's true. But here's the thing. If you go back to Genesis 2, God created a garden with a river. As I've already said, with four river heads. And that river was created in the natural because it was in the spiritual first. In heaven to earth. And what Jesus is trying to say in John 7 that we just read is this river is still living and active. And guess what? It no longer is just a river out there or there. It's a river that's in here. It's a river that flows in here. And it's going to well up and overflow its bank for the healing of the nations.
Woo!
Woo! High five. Come on. Woo! Oh, man. So happy about this. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Listen to me, Jacob. My servant Israel, my chosen one, the Lord who made you and helps you says, don't be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, O dear Israel, my chosen one. For I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And even better than that, and for parents, you're really paying attention. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants. And like Tiffany sang the blessing song, and the blessing on your children. And your children, and your children, and your children. This will be the inheritance for those who are thirsty. This is a byproduct. This is one of the scriptures Jesus said that they testify of. Is this from the prophet Isaiah? They will, your children, grab a hold of this, grandparents. They will thrive. Everybody say thrive.
Thrive.
They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Some will proudly claim, I belong to the Lord. Yeah. Your kids are going to say that.
Yeah.
I belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
Your grandkids are going to declare it. I belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
We've seen it happen. The other night we were on the phone with Judah. And he's going to this good church up there. But it's not, let's just put it this way. Their vision is not the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it is what it is. And he's like, but Mom. You remember those Wednesday night meetings? Okay, he's talking about those 3 years of the river. We had these Wednesday night, what we call breakthrough meetings. He's like, what about that? I want to see this, you know?
He was like six, seven.
So at that time, Jude was like 6, 7 years old. And Gabe, and what we've seen, and I was telling somebody about this on the way in, like I was just explaining to newer people, like we love to have our little babies in worship. Because what we've seen from experience is that even when you don't think they're old enough to understand, even if they feel like they're disrupting the service, God is doing something. There's a spiritual exchange. And you know what it is? It's the river. You see, kids can actually, they can actually identify the river even better than adults can. The first stage 4 cancer we saw healed in the river was these little kids gathered around this man from Arizona. Wow. He sent a report. I'm completely healed. The doctor's giving me a clear report. Kids just being in the river.
Come on.
You know, there's no junior Holy Spirit, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Come on. Are you guys okay? All right. I got a few minutes left. So here's really actually in my notes, it's number one. That's hilarious. Forget about notes. The river of the Holy Spirit. So my question to the Lord when I saw this about Jesus said the scriptures declare is, well, what will flow from our hearts then? Here's what will flow. The river of the Holy Spirit will bring successive outpourings of the Spirit for our generation as well as the next.
Yes.
See, I'm living right now for the hope. And in the Bible, hope is certainty. So not like I hope it, the sun comes out, but I know it's going to happen. I'm living with and for the hope that this next outpouring won't just, I'll get blessed,
yeah,
but my kids will get blessed. My grandkids will get blessed. What parents are so hungry for that? Like, you've seen it, you've tasted it. Like the Bible says, taste and see that he is good. You know he's good, but you know, sometimes you just wish you could open your kid's head up and put in there, or their heart rather, open it up. Let me get some Holy Ghost in there. And you know, and you sort of get a little panicky about it sometimes. Like you're talking to your husband, your wife, like, you think they're okay? I don't know. You know, she's like, well, how's their heart? And you know, so you're going through the parenting thing, and it, all along, you know what the answer is. One touch. Back in, was it March, we went to Greensboro to the Let Us Worship event that Sean Floyd's been doing all across the country, you know. And our youngest, Lydia, who's 10, so she's much too young to have really experienced the fullness of what some of the others experienced with that river outpouring. She got so blasted when Eddie James was just bringing down the Holy Ghost party. You were there. You know what I'm talking about. I love Eddie James, like best worship leaders ever. So we get in the car and we almost were thinking about not going because the weather forecast was like thunderstorms, right? And no judgment if you didn't go. I get it. We could have been one of those. But we got in the car and Lydia looks at us and goes, Mom, I've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit like that before. God, touch me tonight. And I turn to her and I goes, just think, we could have missed it. God, we stumbled in by grace to getting our kids to just the right thing right now because the river touched her life and she's forever marked by it. Camp Morley a couple weeks ago, kids got rocked. You know, Anna Grace came home and prophesied of this church a few weeks ago. Jeremy Nicholson gets up. Jeremy, are you in the room? Jeremy gets up, and I kid you not, this guy starts preaching. I mean, he's 17 years old. He's got every reason to be mad at God and just have gone the other way. Let's just put it that way. Because he had started down that route. He wouldn't mind me sharing that. He had started down the route, you know, drugs and all that stuff. And Jesus just pulled him out. He came home from camp. He stood right here. And just, I'm just sitting down. I turned to Sarah. I was like, oh, I'm not preaching. He just preached. Like, we got to do something else. We're pivoting here. Yeah. Why? Because, see, the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
What I've seen is when the flow of the river begins, the least likely person in the room, God will use them. So get your older brother mentality off of you.
Come on. Because
God wants to use the back row people. God wants to use you. He will use you. He will use the little old me's in the kingdom. But I'm not ordained. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't know the Bible. I don't know. Man, guess what? You're a son, aren't you? You're a daughter of the King of Kings. The authority, the throne lives inside of you. Come on. What else do you need? The throne is there.
Yeah.
Okay, focus. The success of generations. One more. The river gives you spiritual stamina, even when the spiritual atmosphere around you seems parched and dry. Just write down Isaiah 58:11-12. Isaiah 58:11, I'm not going to, for the sake of time, it talks about just a refreshing rain on a dry land. Have you ever been spiritually dry? I have. More times than I can count. Let me tell you a secret about preachers. They get dry too. Pastors get dry. Yeah, I know, it's shocking. So for those of you sitting out there that you think the answer to not being dry is if you could get into ministry, wrong answer. It actually doesn't solve anything. Is it wonderful? Yeah, if it's God. But that's not the answer. The answer is the river. Sorry to sound like a broken record here. The river. It's a flowing, moving thing. It's a relationship with Him. It gives you spiritual stamina, even when on the heels of global pandemics and all the craziness in our world. It's the word of the Lord that says, my word will stand forever. Finally, the river is His presence. Amen. Which begins right here in a place like this. We like to call it church. It's usually where it begins, let's be honest. It's usually where most people get saved, experience the move of the Holy Spirit. I bet if we ran around this room, we could tell tons and tons of awesome stories about how God moved in the church. And that's awesome. And obviously, as a church planner, a pastor, I believe in the local church really, really, really deeply. But in Ezekiel 47, if you really want to get over your head, just deep in the river of the Holy Spirit, get outside the four walls. Mm-hmm. Get out there and get your hands dirty. Get in. A lot of you are. I'm not saying that you're not. I know my friend Ken and they do it. And you know, Deborah's out there. I could go around the room. People are doing it, so I'm just amening it. Okay? Get outside these walls, because as you read what's a parable from the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47. I won't read the whole thing for the sake of time, but he says at the very beginning, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, okay, the church, the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing on the right of the altar on to the south. So as he went further and further away from the temple, guess what happened? It got deeper and deeper.
Oh.
At first, it was just over his feet. Then it was ankle deep. Then it was, I think, at his knees. Then in the water was up to his waist. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about, for lack of a better description, a felt presence. A knowing that He's with me. A connection to the very heart of God.
Yeah.
That, by the way, brings the realities of heaven onto the earth now. For those familiar with the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, parentheses now, as it is in heaven, right? That's our job, by the way, as a church. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what this does. The further you get outside of here, the deeper and deeper, eventually Ezekiel was in over his head. Which in the natural, I don't know about you, but would cause me to panic a little bit. If I'm in water and I can't touch and there's nothing to grab a hold of, there might be in the natural a need to sort of panic. But here's what I've read about heaven. You can breathe underwater. Seriously, I have read many accounts of that, of people who have been there and lived to tell the tale. You can also fly, for those who like flying. The laws of physics are just much different in literal heaven, okay? So when literal heaven meets earth now, what does that look like? It means that His presence is so thick that while some would want to sort of fear, you don't. You dive in and you go deeper because you know it is the answer. He is there. He is in the midst of her.
Yeah.
Finally, let me just say this about why I bought this shirt, found it on the rack at Target. Anybody like to shop at Target? I think about 90% of my clothes are from Target. I just like the clothes. I'm sorry, but I saw this shirt and I just thought of revival history. And that nothing unites humans more than a move of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I already mentioned this, but as you study church history, when the Holy Spirit moves people, people always come together across socioeconomic, gender, and racial differences. From, as I already said, Acts 2, the last one that I'll just point to is the 1906 Azusa Street Revival. You know, began with a blind and one-eyed black man named William Seymour, who, because of racial discrimination in the South in Texas, had heard about this revelation of baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's like, I want this. He was thirsty, okay? He was this, just what Jesus described for all who are thirsty to come. But he goes to this man named Charles Parham's. He was a white preacher who was holding these meetings in a hotel. And because of their lack of revelation, they wouldn't let a black man come into the meeting. So guess what? I love this hunger. William Seymour said, well, that's okay. What God wants to do, no man can stop. And he just sat and listened at the door. Now, here's where the story gets really interesting. God said, take this revelation of a baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues to Los Angeles. He had not actually received the baptism yet. He had just seen it in the Word of God, knew that it was true, and seen the evidence for it. Yes. And he said, that's good enough for me.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to preach it until I believe it. And when I believe it, then I'm going to receive it. Okay? Yes. And so that began to happen. So he takes it to Azusa Street. They're meeting in this little house. And so many people start listening in and gathering, black, brown, and white, on this porch, that the porch collapses. Like, oh, crap, the porch collapsed. What are we going to do now? So they find this little building at, I can't remember the street number, let's say 106 Azusa Street in Los Angeles. And it had, the last usage was for a horse stable. Remember, we're talking 1906 here, right? A horse stable. Again, most people would run from a building like that. I probably would. They're like, all right, so they get together, the church binds together, they start sweeping the floors, cleaning up, putting out little, make these really crude wooden benches. And they began to hold these meetings every morning and every night. Every morning and every night. Do you know that we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the hunger and thirst of that blind and one-eyed African-American man? We owe our heritage because he wouldn't let something like racial discrimination keep him back from what he knew God had for all people. Before the advent of airplanes, people took ships from all around the planet to come to the meetings with William Seymour at Azusa Street for just about, I think it was 3.5 years. 3 years. It wasn't even a really super long time. You see, God can do more in 10 minutes than the church without the Holy Ghost can do in 10 years. I'm just being honest. It's true, God can do it in 10 seconds.
Yes.
He says it, it's done. Think about it. In the beginning, he spoke, boom, light. I mean, that's how powerful kingdom authority is. And he wants to do that through you. Through you. Through his church. You're like, well, that sounds awful, awful haughty. No, 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 no. It's actually the way God created it because that's how much he loves you. It's not for you. It's for his glory, obviously. So I just want us to stand here this morning, and if we could just unite our hearts with the King here and allow the brooding of the Holy Spirit. Darrence, can I ask you to come back, bro? The brooding of the Holy Spirit, because I think it doesn't take a lot of spiritual discernment that God's up to something. Like he's doing something here remarkable, phenomenal. And he's doing that with all of us, with every single person. Even if you didn't really completely understand a word really about what I was saying, you're like, man, that's great, but I'm not sure. You know what? That's okay. Because God loves you. And he's going to use you, trust me. If you'll just give him your yes right now, that's it. If you'll just say, I might not understand it, but I know God's in this room. And I know he's speaking. If you'll just give him your yes, He'll do the rest. Just give him your yes, and God will do the rest. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
So, you know where Matthew was talking about, I just want us to see this so we can receive it. You know, yeah. He was talking about, we have been at the ocean, we're listening to the water, and then it was like a few weeks later, we were sitting by the river listening, and then we went home that exact weekend. We had to stay at our pastor's house, and we woke up the next morning and we're sitting on their back deck, and it was a downpour of rain. And Matthew said, it sounds like a river in their backyard. And it was like the Lord was speaking, like, I want to pour out. And I just want to encourage us. I've felt like never before. Like, it's not time to give up.
Yeah.
It's not time to hunker down and say, I'm worn out, I'm tired. It's time to say, Lord, I'm tired. Come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Because He wants to baptize us. It is the time to press in for the generations upon generations upon generations. You know, when I hear my kids, my older kids who actually did experience the move of the Holy Spirit, when I hear them talking to us and saying they want their other friends to experience, and they try to talk to them about the Holy Spirit and stuff, and their friends are just like, you know, and it just makes me realize, like, Lord, now more than ever,
we want to have
the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit being poured out among us. We want it because we want our kids. We want our adults. We want all of us. We need, you know, the thing we experienced was that in the manifest presence of the Lord, He altered everything. He did things in our minds. He did things in our hearts that we would never be the same. Never to be the same. And so, Lord, we're asking you for that, Lord.
Yeah.
We're saying yes to you this morning.
Yeah.
We're saying yes to your heart.
Yeah.
We're saying, come, Holy Spirit. We're saying, come, Holy Spirit. Let your presence pour out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let those clouds that just come over us, hover over us. Hover over us, Holy Spirit. Let a downpour of your rain. We see it. We see it. We see the clouds. Even if the clouds are just as small as a hand, we see it. We see the clouds of your Holy Spirit. And we're saying, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain on this generation. Let it rain on this generation. Let it rain on this generation. Let this generation be marked by your Holy Spirit. Let this generation be marked by who you are. Lord, the reality of your presence, the reality of your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us.
Yes, God.
Wherein sometimes we have put you in a corner.
Yes, God.
Holy Spirit. Yeah. We've said, here, you stay over here where it's nice and pretty. And Lord, we say, forgive us. Forgive us. We want all of you, Holy Spirit. We want all of you, Lord. We want every last drop of you, Holy Spirit. We don't want you to hold back. We want the whole package. We want the whole thing, Lord.
Yes, God. Yeah, so just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my yes. Do what you want to
do.
In Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Just put your hand on your belly right now, because Jesus said, out of your belly will come a river of the Holy Spirit. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Spring up within our soul, God. Spring up within our hearts, God. Let that bubbling brook just spring up like a geyser on the inside of us. Woo! We just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing.
Thank you,
for what you're doing. What I want to do before we leave, thank you for being here and being so gracious, is if you could just find one person. I just feel like, just find one person. And if you're by yourself and you don't feel comfortable, I totally understand that. But if we could just, everybody just find one person. And I just want you to put a hand, grab their hand, or put a hand on their shoulder. I just want you to pray. Just pray that God would do everything He wants to do in their life. Just pray as the Holy Spirit has led to lead you to pray. If you have the gift of tongues, pray in the Spirit. If you don't have any words, just pray. Just pray. Just keep praying. Whatever God leads you to pray. I believe His body is His church right now. So Lord, just pray. Just keep praying over them. Keep going. One more minute. Just keep praying. Don't stop. Just keep praying. If you don't know what to pray, just say more, Lord. More, Lord. That's always a good prayer. More, God. Just give them more, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. More, God. Yes. Let the river flow, God. Flow, river, flow. Woo. Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Something's shifting right now. Something's shifting. Woo. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Looking at me like, yes and amen, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing around this room. significant ministries are being birthed in people's spirits right now. Right now. It's the fruit beside the river. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As the kids come back in, if you need to go, you can be dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We love you. Don't feel bad at all. Feel free. It's free in here. If you want to just stay around and pray and worship or just get touched and fellowship, you can do that too. But we love you. God bless you. Come Wednesday night. Pastor T will be leading our night of worship. Everybody come. Sarah and I will be headed to the wedding. We won't be here. That's all right. We're going to keep contending for this and more. Amen. On these Wednesday nights, we're going to keep pressing in, praying, believing that God is going to do remarkable things in us, in our community. Amen. So Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, everybody come. Amen. Be blessed.